She's working on the house. One day there's a knock on the door, and Ed Harris stumbles into their lives. And
don't you hate it when Ed Harris just shows up unannounced?
It turns out that he's a big fan of Javier Bardem's poet character. Bardem allows Ed Harris to spend the night, and the next day, Michelle Pfeiffer shows up as Ed Harris's wife, and she moves in too. And Jennifer Lawrence doesn't understand why her husband is allowing these complete strangers into their personal space. And from there on, she walks around with a puzzled look on her face for the remainder of the movie. Well, I'll change that, because sometimes the look on her face is not a puzzlement. Is that a word?
Yes, puzzlement.
She's not puzzled. She's horrified.
Aha.
The look changes to horror because the couple's two sons show up and there's a fight and somebody ends up dead. And during all of this, Bardem does nothing to stop anything and Jennifer Lawrence screams.
I have theories. Like Bardem's already dead or there is no house or hell is other people.
You asked me not to spoil the movie and now you're coming up with your own spoilers.
Well, I've seen the trailer and it looks phenomenal.
I'm not going to tell you anything about that. I will tell you that from there until the end of the movie, all you get from either of the two leads is apathy from him and terrified panic from her. This is the kind of movie where at one point Jennifer Lawrence goes to the basement and sees blood dripping down the walls of the basement of the house that she lives in, and she tells no one. She doesn't run upstairs. Honey, come downstairs here. Hey, is this blood dripping down the walls? She doesn't say anything to anybody. Is this a metaphor for a horror movie? Is it a metaphor for a writer's block? What the hell is it? I don't know. Max, I do not know. And frankly, I don't care. I will say that I sympathize with Jennifer Lawrence's character in this movie because she is apparently trapped in this house with something terrible taking place. Mm. And I was trapped in that movie theater for 2 full hours with a terrible movie unfolding in front of me.
Did you dislike Black Swan?
Correct. I did not like Black Swan.
Really? That was my favorite film that year.
Okay. We're allowed to have different opinions.
I can't wait to see that.
And maybe you'll go see this and you'll like it. But for me, Mother, and I think for a lot of people, by the way, Mother is going to be considered self-indulgent. There's an exclamation point at the end of the title for no reason. This movie is too long. It is unsettling to see such good actors locked into a script that takes them nowhere. I like Jennifer Lawrence. I like Javier Bardem. I like Ed Harris. I like Michelle Pfeiffer. They are in a bad, bad movie here, which I want to warn you, if you ever watch this on video and you're calling it up on Amazon Prime or on Netflix, do not confuse this with Albert Brooks' 1996 movie, also called Mother, which is about him as a grown man moving back in with his mom, who was played by the late Debbie Reynolds. That's not one of Albert Brooks' best. You shouldn't even watch that. But you're better off watching that 5 times in a row than sitting through 2 hours of this.
Albert Brooks had a great line about this on Twitter. He said, "I can't believe they've remade my movie without my permission. I hope Jennifer Lawrence is as good as Debbie Reynolds."
Yeah.
But, oh, that's
funny. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'm not sure remaking his would have been much better than this, but this is terrible. 2. On a scale of 10.
Wow, 2. Now, why? Now,
well, you know what? 2 with an exclamation point for no reason.
A lowercase 2 with an exclamation point. So, what gives it the 2? Is it just the acting? I mean, does it raise it up from a 0?
The plot, the plot is ridiculous. The acting is okay, but at a certain point, they're not acting anymore. Like I said, Javier Bardem just wanders around not doing much of anything. Mm. And Jennifer Lawrence is screaming through at least the last 40% of this movie.
Hmm. A big bomb, you think? Box office bomb?
I think this...
People won't...
Well, I think that some people may go because Jennifer Lawrence, you know, she's been doing the late night show. She was on Fallon the other night. She was on Seth Meyers last night.
Mm-hmm.
She goes out and publicizes her movies because that's what movie stars have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think anybody who's a big Jennifer Lawrence fan is going to be severely disappointed in this. And if it does any box office this weekend, the box office will drop off dramatically when word of mouth gets around that this thing sucks.
I imagine she's not just promoting the film out of contractual obligation, but romantic obligation as well, as she has struck up a relationship with Darren Aronofsky.
Oh, really? I did not know that. They're a couple?
That's why I'm here.
Okay, well, maybe that explains something. But... wow. I'll tell you, I've been married for a long, long time. But if I were dating somebody
and they said, "Here's the script,"
who sent me this script, we're done. I'm going all Costanza on you. We're done. I read your script. I'm never dating you again. Whew, big mistake by Jennifer Lawrence. Mother, 2 out of 10.
Wow. Harsh.
Now, what did you see this week?
I saw something called Rebel in the Rye, which is all about J.D. Salinger. Now, I know that he's an iconic American figure. Catcher in the Rye obviously was a watershed for American literature. It was a game changer as far as one of the pillars of the introduction of the notion of the teenager. And, you know...
Did you like the book?
I have not, in all honesty, been able to finish the book. In high school and in my early 20s, I knew some people who were diehard Salinger fans who had read Franny and Zoe and Nine Stories, and they loved this man. And they, of course, were enamored with the story of how he'd sequestered himself and nobody'd seen him for 20 years and all this stuff. I mean, that sort of feeds into the mythic qualities of him. But I've tried to read Catcher a couple of times, and I couldn't connect with not only Holden Caulfield, but also the way his style, just the way the book was written.
Yep.
And I put it down a couple times over the years, and I thought, well, the fault here is definitely with me and not this piece of art.
No, the fault is not with you. Catcher in the Rye is one of the most overrated books in American history.
Well, I'm happy to hear somebody else.
I'm totally with you. I was forced to read this entire thing in high school. Well, I wasn't forced to read the entire thing. Frankly, I went to the Cliffs Notes.
Oh, sure.
Because I had to write a book report about it in high school.
For the kids out there who don't know, before the internet and Wikipedia, we had Cliffs Notes.
Right. It was a printed version of Wikipedia.
Yes.
So I never read the entire book either. I went to the Cliffs Notes, but that's because I started reading the book and got bored. It was just not interesting. It's not compelling to me in any way.
I've tried a couple times. Now, there's been great albums that people love, and sometimes you put them on and they don't really capture your imagination. And then years later, you can put it on and go, wow, I like this song a lot. So I thought maybe Catcher will one day catch up with me.
No. Here's the best use of Catcher in the Rye in anything since then. The movie Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts.
Okay.
He's a conspiracy theory guy who has been working for the CIA as a hitman years before that. And as part of the things that were implanted in his brain, for some reason, every time he's in a bookstore and sees a copy of Catcher in the Rye, he has to buy it. And she notices that on the shelf in his apartment. He has like 25 different copies of Catcher in the Rye. That's the only good reason for Catcher in the Rye to exist, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe that's why it sold so many copies. There was
because there were a lot of nutty people.
Who knows?
Maybe. So this is about J.D. Salinger writing the book?
It is. It's about his early life, all pre his, you know, when he went all hermit. This is written and directed by Danny Strong. Danny Strong was a young actor who started out on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and then he later went on to work on Gilmore Girls, but he had wanted to break in as a writer, and he's actually become a pretty in-demand Hollywood writer. He wrote The Butler with Lee Daniels. He was a co-creator of Empire with Lee Daniels, and he also wrote the last two Hunger Games movies, Mockingjay Part 1 and 2, speaking of Jennifer Lawrence. He wrote Game Change, the Julianne Moore as Sarah Palin
movie. Oh, yeah. That was really good. Speaking of Ed Harris, he played John McCain in that movie.
Exactly. And so he is a pretty in-demand screenwriter, and he wrote this about Salinger, and he decided to make it his directorial debut. And I will say, the movie is really well put together. I think he has a future as a director. He's a really talented young guy. And it's also cast very well. I think that if there is any issue with this movie, it's the person who plays Salinger himself, and we'll talk about that. But it's also the script is just a little too on the nose and a little too Hallmark channel-y. You know, this a movie like this, it's definitely written with the hindsight that this man is a genius, and he wrote one of the most beloved books of all time. So what you have is you have people constantly telling him, you're never going to be anything as a writer, and why are you writing this book? And I'm not saying that didn't happen to him, but it pays off to the audience, like, look, hey, audience, you're in on this. You know that he's an, you know, how about you show me some of his process and not just remind me that he's Salinger in big capital letters?
Yeah.
Now, again, I said that the movie is cast very well. You've got a great supporting cast, including Victor Garber and Zoe Dutch, who's finally in a decent movie. Lucy Boynton from Sing Street plays Salinger's wife, and she's phenomenal. And Kevin Spacey, who, after I gave him so many accolades for his gangster character in Baby Driver, he's even better in this as a college prof who is one of Salinger's mentors. He's actually the first person to ever publish him. And he's phenomenal in this role. I think he's sort of low key doing some of the best work of his career. So if you're a Kevin Spacey fan, definitely watch Rebel.
One of the reasons I respect Kevin Spacey so much is here's a guy who's a leading man.
Yes,
he could be the star of any movie he wanted, any script he wanted to do. Yep. I don't know if he's an automatic green light because I don't know what Jennifer Lawrence is an automatic green light. Yes. I don't know that Kevin Spacey still is, but if he wants to make a movie and wants to star in it, he'll get the financing and be able to make that movie. Mm-hmm. But he takes supporting roles in other people's movies and does brilliant work.
And he is brilliant in this. He's the main reason to recommend this movie. Now, unfortunately, the young actor that they've cast as J.D. Salinger, who's in almost every scene, is Nicholas Holt. Nicholas Holt was the young boy in About a Boy with Hugh Grant. He also went on to be Beast in the X-Men superhero films, and he was also in Mad Max Fury Road. I've always been sort of indifferent towards Nicholas Holt. I mean, he's been fine, but he's never really had a leading role until now, and quite frankly, he can't pull it off. There's not a lot going on behind his expressions. You know, they always say that acting is in the eyes, and he just sort of has dead eyes. So he's trying to sell Salinger, and I don't think he does it well at all. Hmm.
Maybe Salinger had dead eyes, and he's doing them perfectly.
Perhaps. But I was reminded of Milos Forman's Amadeus, which was released, I think, 1984. And this was a movie, much like the Hamilton musical now, has captured the imagination of younger people who are interested in American history now. In all the high schools back when Amadeus came out, everybody suddenly cared about Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Yeah.
Because Holst made him approachable and understandable, and that's a genius work of art.
People also discovered Salieri for the first time.
Absolutely.
Because of F. Murray Abraham.
Who won an Oscar for that. And I was hoping that Rebel in the Rye, which is the name of this movie, would do the same thing. It would win me over. It would tell me why I should be invested in this man and his work, and it doesn't do that. Mm. I think it's definitely preaching to the choir. If you love Salinger anyway, then maybe you'll like this portrait about his struggles with getting published. Now, as you know from real life, once he published the book and it was a huge success, for a variety of reasons, one, the pressure of making a follow-up book, but also I think some PTSD from the war, he decides to buy a property in the middle of nowhere, and he stays there for the rest of his life. He continues writing, but he never published again while he was alive. The movie ends right there. Like, okay, bye, see you guys later. And it just says, and then Salinger was never heard from again. To me, not being a fan of his work, that's the more interesting part of his life. Mm. And you know that fans visited him. I think he had a couple of relationships with the fans as well.
Wasn't the James Earl Jones character in Field of Dreams, Terrence Mann, based on J.D. Salinger?
Because yes.
He had written this great book and he could never equal it again. Mm-hmm. And so he had gone away.
Well, yes.
Same kind of thing, right?
I do think that Salinger maybe was a little more, I think it's a more mental and psychological problems.
And his voice wasn't as good.
True. I mean, you know, you don't hear Salinger saying, this is CNN. So I can't recommend Rebel in the Rye unless you are a giant fan of Catcher in the Rye. Then you might like this movie. I wish they would have cast somebody else as Salinger, and I wish the film wouldn't have been so easy and so on the nose of letting the audience know, oh, this guy's a genius. I would have liked to have seen some more struggle, and maybe a reason for me as a non-fan to care. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how you haven't seen Straight Outta Compton, and you haven't watched, you know, like Patty Cakes or 8 Mile, because you don't like hip hop. And I said, well, if the story is well told, the hip hop becomes secondary. Rebel in the Rye never lets his story be first. It's always about what a genius he was and how great the work was. And I think that's maybe a mistake.
Okay, so what do you give it on a scale of 10?
I'm going to give this right in the middle a 5, and the reason why is because I thought it was an average film at best, except for Kevin Spacey, who really is phenomenal.
All right, more showbiz stuff to come here on the Big 550 KTRS. Meet me.
All right, they cleared the accident that was on eastbound Highway 4064 east of Clayton Warson. Now you're probably starting to see some of the balloon glow traffic starting to make its way in a little bit because you're running off the pace, we'll call it, crowded between Mason and Clayton Warson. Looks like we do have an incident on southbound Highway 270 just a little bit south of Highway 4064. It is now on the right shoulder, but traffic is running slow to stop and go between Page down through Doherty Ferry. A little bit of a slowdown again from 44 through Grabois. Biggest problems we have right now going out west because you're slow on westbound 4064 between Clarkson and Long Road, again from Highway K all the way out through Highway 70 and westbound 70 Lake St. Louis Boulevard through Wentzville Parkway. Folks trying to get out for an nice warm weekend at the lake. And this traffic report is brought to you by Lowe's. Pro customers Right now at Lowe's, you can save on the supplies you need most from the brands you trust to help get the job done on time and on budget. Visit Lowe'sForPros.com for details. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Desk.
It's easy to get your flu shot at Walgreens and help make a difference. Simply get a shot and give a shot. No appointment necessary. Vaccine restrictions may apply. See pharmacy for details.
In the early 1700s, Missouri's first settlement was founded by the French on the banks of the Mississippi River. Today, St. Genevieve remains a charming destination, offering an unparalleled glimpse into our colonial past. Just an hour's drive south of St. Louis, St. Genevieve welcomes visitors with remarkable restaurants, quaint shops, and plenty of recreational opportunities. Relax at one of the many wineries, or stay overnight in a comfortable bed and breakfast or landmark hotel. Plan your St. Genevieve getaway at visit stegen.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Hardcastle, President and CEO of Delta Investment Services. At Delta, our mission is to build long-term relationships with our clients and help them realize their dreams through continuous, high-quality, long-term, diversified financial investment planning. With over 50 years in the investment field, our Delta team provides financial guidance for our clients that help them meet their financial goals. We want you to feel comfortable with your money, with your estate planning, with your emergency funds, and with retirement. We also offer our SOS, our second opinion service, to non-clients that might want a second opinion on their current investment strategy during these volatile times. For a no-charge, no-pressure financial meeting, call our Delta office at 636-532-0484. 636-532-0484. Or go to our website, moneytalk.org. I'm Bob Hardcastle.
Congratulations to one of the best-run St. Louis companies in the region. Of course, I'm talking about R&R Sanitation Porta-Potties. And when it comes right down to it, when you need a porta-potty, there's really only one company to call, and that's R&R Sanitation. Whether it is a special event, a wedding, a family reunion, large events, or maybe even construction sites, did you know that most of the top construction firms in St. Louis use R&R Sanitation? Because they're the best. They're bigger. They're 40% larger, which makes for a cleaner toilet longer. They also service in a much more frequent basis. In fact, R&R Sanitation has been so successful here in St. Louis, they are now working in Columbia, Jeff City, and Lake of the Ozarks because so many people have called for their service, they now have had to expand. So for all of your porta-potty needs, call R&R Sanitation, 314-776-4000. That's 314-776-4000 or rnrportabletoilets.com. And yes, they really do want your stinking business, R&R Sanitation.
Hi, it's Jennifer Blome with some great news from my friends at Sound Health Services. They have now opened ENT Now. ENT Now is a walk-in clinic at Manchester and 270 in De Pere Square that offers same-day care for ear, nose, or throat conditions. ENT Now. No appointments necessary. Open 7 to 7 Monday to Friday and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Walk in or call 314-729-0077 or online at soundhealthservices.com. ENT Now.
Hi, this is Mike Kelly. When I'm looking to send flowers to a loved one for a birthday, anniversary, or that special occasion, I call my friends at Walter Knoll Florists. Walter Knoll is family-owned and operated and offers custom designs by expert designers, a huge inventory and selection that only the largest florist can offer, with quality and care that no grocery store florist can meet. They have several locations in the St. Louis metro area to serve you. Order online today at WKF.com. Walter Knoll Florists, your personal florist since 1883.
All right, let's talk refinancing. And, of course, you know I'm now going to talk about Stuart Rosenblum and Stuart's American Mortgage Corp. You can either listen to me talk about this or just pick up the phone now because this was a reminder for you to call 314-324-4440. Why do it now? Well, interest rates are on the verge of going higher, and I don't want you to be the one to say, ah, if I'd have just called the last time Carney was talking about this. Hopefully this will be the last time. Call now and refinance. Lower your monthly payments. Get some cash back out of your house. Shorten the term of your loan. So many different advantages, but it all starts with a phone call from you to Stuart at no cost. The Bega loan has zero closing costs. 314-324-4440 or online at stuartsamc.com.
American Mortgage Corporation, number 226715. NMLS, number 267567
Same
great show, same strong signal. New great host. Yeah, it's the Yard Sale Show with the new twist. Hi, I'm Farmer Dave Schumacher. Since Paul Warner's retiring, I'm taking the reins of one of the longest running radio shows in the Metro St. Louis on a radio station with a signal that covers everywhere from Carlisle to Chesterfield, from Washington to Westview, from O'Fallon to O'Fallon, and it covers a lot of yards.
The Yard Sale with Farmer Dave, Saturdays at 7 a.m. on KTRS, presented by Walter Knoll Florist.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris helping you roll towards your weekend. Max is here in the studio with me, so is Tim. And we're doing our showbiz segment for the week. We've already reviewed two movies. Mother with Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem, which I am going to have on my worst movies of the year list. I give it a 2 out of 10. And Rebel in the Rye, which Max said is the definition of an average movie. So he gave it a 5 out of 10. Now, the third movie that is opening today in the St. Louis area is called American Assassin. Do not confuse this with American Made. That's a Tom Cruise movie that's coming out in a couple of weeks. This is a movie that is flying kind of under the radar, and I'll tell you a little bit about it because I went to see it last night. In this movie, Mitch Rapp, that's the character's name, has just proposed to his beautiful girlfriend on the beach in Ibiza, Spain. He goes to the bar to get a couple of drinks to toast their engagement. And while he's doing that, all hell breaks loose. Some gunmen appear out of nowhere, and they start shooting everybody in sight, including the girlfriend. She's dead. Somehow, he survives. And the next time we see him, we flash forward in the movie, Mitch is in training. It's clear that he is working to get back at the Iranians who pulled off his terrorist attack on the beach that turned his life upside down. Meanwhile, he's attracted the attention of the CIA, which is monitoring his communications with the jihadists, and pretty soon they recruit him to join an elite fighting force called Orion, which is run by a tough guy named Stan Hurley, who is played by Michael Keaton. Now, right there, I hope I got your attention with the name Michael Keaton, because anytime Michael Keaton is on screen in any movie, I'm drawn to that performance. He is a magnetic personality. But I like him best when he's playing a rogue character. This time, he's not the rogue character. He's the boss, and Mitch is the guy who doesn't like following orders. So, you know, they're going to go off on a mission, but they're going to butt heads along the way before they work together to save the world. That's just the formula. You've seen this in other movies.
Do they want to save the world, or does he just want revenge? Like, the world saving could be, fine, save the world, but I want revenge because of what happened.
All of those things come into play in this movie. Now, the extremely talented assassin slash fighter slash gunman, we've seen that in plenty of movies, especially if he's a rogue character. Think of John McClane in Die Hard. He's going to do it his way. Of course, he's the only one in the original, but he's going to do it his way. Jack Reacher, the Tom Cruise character in his movie. Jason Bourne, the guy who is out on his own and has to solve whatever the problem is by himself. It's the kind of guy who can also withstand a brutal fist fight, because this is the movies, and doesn't matter how many guns there are, you've got to have brutal fist fights. Even a couple of weeks ago, we saw a woman doing that. I'm blanking on her
Atomic
name.
Blonde.
Yes,
Charlize Theron.
Atomic Blonde. Thank you very much. She plays the kind of woman who can withstand a brutal fist fight. And this, you got that guy. You know, it's the kind of character who will shoot you dead with the last bullet in his gun, even though he's had to miss. You've had to miss him 324 times. He's got one bullet left. He's going
to
get you.
I'm just happy he took to this training, because after the horrible, tragic thing happens, he could have been really bad at it. He could have tried to, like, become an assassin, and they're like, no, you fail.
That's true. He's the kind of character who always knows exactly where the bad guy is at any time, and where the bad guy doesn't kill the good guy because he wants him to see the havoc he's about to wreak on whatever. Now, you've seen what I just described. You've seen that in dozens of movies. And you're not going to be surprised by this, even by the Tom Clancy ripoff of an ending, which I'm not going to spoil for you. That said, Dylan O'Brien, who's the actor who plays Mitch, is very good in this role. And I think he's going to be a franchise player, because Mitch Rapp is the star of 16 novels.
Really?
This is the first one, American Assassin.
Okay, so sort of like they wanted a franchise for Charlize with Atomic Blonde. Keanu Reeves has a new one with John Wick.
Yep.
They want this to be a new franchise.
Correct.
Didn't realize it.
Of course, a lot of people said the same thing about Taylor Kitsch 5 years ago when he graduated from TV star on Friday Night Lights to movie star in John Carter. That didn't quite work out for him. And ironically, Taylor Kitsch is in this movie as one of the bad guys.
Huh.
The cast also includes Sanaa Lathan, who I've seen in plenty of movies, and she's always very, very good. She's the CIA authority figure who has to try to reel in Mitch and Stan, but also give them enough rope to get the job done, because turns out they're both rogues.
Everybody's a rogue.
Now, I mistakenly mentioned in the last review, Kill the Messenger, the Jeremy Renner movie, which we referenced last week, in which he plays a real-life journalist named Gary Webb, who uncovered the CIA's role in importing cocaine into American ghettos in the 1990s. That movie was well-directed by a guy named Michael Cuesta, who I haven't heard of anything about since. Michael Cuesta directed this movie.
What a very different film.
Yes. That's not an action movie, although it's called Kill the Messenger. This is an action movie called American Assassin, and he does a good job. He gets the action sequences right, he doesn't telegraph what's coming next, and most of all, he lets Michael Keaton be Michael Keaton.
Well, when you've hired him, you might as well just let him, let him go.
Michael Keaton, you might describe as a rogue actor.
Sure.
But you give him enough rope to do what he has to do on screen, and he comes through with just the right performance.
So what I'm hearing is there's nothing really spectacular about this plot.
Right.
Or because you've seen it before.
Right.
But for what it is, it's well done.
Yes. And if you go in knowing that, now remember you and I had a discussion about The Hitman's Bodyguard a few weeks ago?
Yep.
You went in with your expectations too high and you were disappointed.
And you love that movie.
I didn't love it. But I went in with low expectations and it exceeded them, so I had a good time while you didn't. This is the same kind of thing. Don't go in here expecting this to be one of the greatest dramatic movies of all time. Go in knowing that you're going to see a movie called American Assassin. That's what you're going to get. And this is going to be the start. I'm sure this is going to do some box office.
Huh.
It's not going to be a big box office movie, but it doesn't really have
competition. I mean, it's against Rebel in the Rye, and it's against Mother.
Yes.
So I think at the multiplex, a lot of people might go see something called American Assassin.
It's the one of the three that I would recommend. I'd give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Huh.
We'll break and come back with more, including Jerry Seinfeld's upcoming Netflix special. And remember when Hollywood was blaming Rotten Tomatoes for their rotten summer? Well, we have some data on that to share with you next on the Big 550 KTRS.
An RV may seem like a grown-up version of a playhouse, but it's a real second home, complete with kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, and slide-out rooms which expand your living space. You simply can't imagine until you look inside. Whether it's a motorhome, a luxury fifth wheel, or a lightweight trailer designed for downsized utility vehicles, Byerly offers the best value in RVs. Step inside a Byerly RV and discover a whole new world. Wherever you go, you're always at home in a Byerly RV. Byerly, just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss. Because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text LOOK to 543-543. Check them out now. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Dude, this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. Millions trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert, ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part, Bosley's solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting LOOK to 543-543. Don't forget, that's LOOK to 543-543.
Did you know that approximately 10% of our population is at risk for addiction to a mood-altering substance? If you or someone you care about has had difficulty with alcohol or drug misuse, Centerpoint Hospital can help. Centerpoint Hospital is St. Louis's only private treatment center for addictions to alcohol, prescription drugs, opioids, and other mood-altering substances. Addiction is treatable, and with most major insurances accepted, Centerpoint Hospital can help get you or your loved one on the road to recovery. Contact CenterPointHospital.com right now.
Come join us at the St. Charles Oktoberfest, the largest family-friendly Oktoberfest in the Midwest at Frontier Park in historic downtown St. Charles. Take in the authentic German and contemporary bands performing on four different stages. Enjoy mouth-watering German fare, arts and crafts, and over 30 varieties of German and American beers. Craftig VIP lounge tickets are still available at stcharlesoktoberfest.com. You'll find something for everyone at the St. Charles Oktoberfest, September 22nd through 24th.
Remember when we were kids and there was a family dentist on every corner? Well, that doesn't exist anymore, except in places like Florissant with Bowen Dental Care. You see, Dr. Bowen has rejected selling out to the corporate interests. He still very much believes in family dentistry. That's what you get when you go to Bowen Dental Care, whether it's teeth whitening, cavities, root canals, caps, and yes, of course, dental implants. A lot of people talk about dental implants. With corporate dentistry, you get sent to each different doctor for each different procedure. Well, at Bowen Dental Care, it's a family-run dentistry, and all the work is done by Dr. Bowen right there at his world headquarters on Dunn Road in Florissant. It's not one-size-fits-all, and it's not $25,000. He will sit with you and explain exactly what's going on and how he can custom-fit your dental implants. Bowen Dental Care, family dentistry, 314-921-3500, or B-O-A-I-N, BowenDentalCare.com.
Hi, Chuck Easter with Easter Fence Deck and Renovations. Started by my dad in 1957, we've just celebrated our 60th birthday. It's an honor to carry on Dad's legacy, one of integrity and quality. We cut no corners and use only the best materials. We install every style of residential and commercial fence, even custom designs. We've long been known as the premier fence company in the St. Louis area, but we do much more. We service virtually all of your home renovation needs. We like to say that we'll build your fence and almost anything on the inside of it. Whether it be a deck, pergola, carport, retaining wall, home remodeling, or room addition, think Easter. Our team of custom home builders are the finest anywhere. With Easter, you'll be confident that your project will turn out beautiful and will be something that you enjoy and take pride in for years to come. For a free estimate, call us at 314-892-8500. That's 314-892-8500 or EasterFence.com.
Easter Fence Deck and Renovations, where customers become friends.
Have you had a bad day, a stressful week? I may have the solution. This is Steve Light, host of the Retire Worry Free Show. Let's work together and try to turn every day into a Saturday. Let's get you retired.
Listen to the Retire Worry Free Show, Saturday at noon.
On the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for following me on Twitter, at Paul Harris Show. And for joining me here on Friday afternoons to help you roll towards the weekend, we'll have the Harris Challenge in about a half hour or so. Max is here with me, and we're talking about movies. We've already reviewed three so far today. Mother with Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem gets a 2 on a scale of 10. Rebel in the Rye gets a 5 on a scale of 10. And American Assassin, which you may not have heard of, but it's opening this weekend in a lot of theaters, a 6.5 out of 10. So that's our recommendation for the weekend. Max, you may remember a few weeks ago, you and I were talking about Hollywood complaining about this terrible summer that they've had, where they didn't really have as many blockbusters as they wanted to. Wonder Woman made a lot of money.
Yes.
What else was a big moneymaker this summer?
Well, it doesn't count for the summer, but It, which is in theaters now, it broke records for a horror film. It was the biggest opening for a horror film of all time. And this weekend, it's projected to make another $50 million based on pre-sales. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense because the three movies we just talked about are all smaller movies.
Right.
So I don't think anybody's going to dethrone that. As far as the rest of... of the year. I mean, Wonder Woman was the main storyline. I'm trying to think of what else came out this year that, I mean, Spider-Man did pretty well. It's the umpteenth Spider-Man film that we've had, but that one did all right, because the Marvel movies have a built-in audience.
But a lot of the other ones that they were hoping would be franchise starters or big box office
those
ones,
did not
like
work.
King Arthur. And
yeah, King Arthur failed, and The Mummy failed. That's out on Blu-ray and DVD this week. That was supposed to launch the Dark Universe. That didn't happen. I guess Guardians of the Galaxy did pretty well for Marvel.
Part 2. Yeah. So the Hollywood had to find somebody to blame, and it can't be the fact that the Hollywood executives chose bad movies and wasted millions, tens, hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not their fault.
No.
There's got to be an external reason. And they blamed it on the website Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, it's critics' fault.
Yes, because the critics are giving these movies such low ratings, and everybody can see what the Rotten Tomato number is when they go to Fandango or IMDb. Well, IMDb has its own, but there are other movie sites that you go to and you take a look, and everything's down to a number. Now, you may remember Hollywood hated when Siskel and Ebert first started out 20-plus years ago, because all they did was thumbs up or thumbs down. And in the movie reviews, you would see Siskel and Ebert say, two thumbs up.
Yeah, in ad campaigns for the movies, you open up the newspaper, you would see two thumbs up.
So they claimed they hated that, but because it reduced the movie to just, you know, a binary system, and that's what movies are. Well, yeah, it is, because when you ask your friends, did you like this movie, they're going to tell you yes or no, and that's what that was, and that's what Rotten Tomatoes is.
You know, I have much less of a problem with the Siskel and Ebert thumbs up, thumbs down, because Netflix is also started doing that now instead of a star rating, because two stars, what does that mean? Four stars, it's just a simple yes or no. And again, at a glance, I'm fine with that. I think a lot of Siskel and Ebert fans love that television show where they did more than just thumbs up, thumbs down. They would actually talk about the movies like you and I have done this hour. And of course, Ebert won the Pulitzer for film criticism, so he was an incredible writer.
Right.
I have had my issues with Rotten Tomatoes as well. I don't like the idea that, well, this movie gets 67. What does it even mean? I do like longer form criticisms, but it's probably because I myself am a film critic.
Yeah, but I think you can attach a number to it at the end, just as a general guide for people. I don't have a problem with that.
Which we've also done on this show.
Yes, we do. A gentleman by the name of Eve Berquist, who manages the Data and Analytics Project at USC's Entertainment Technology Center, heard about Hollywood whining about low Rotten Tomatoes scores are killing our box office. So he went back and checked box office return data through a website called Box Office Mojo, which anybody can go to and see how movies are doing.
Yep.
He went through the 150 movies released thus far this year that grossed more than $1 million. Then he plugged in the Rotten Tomatoes scores and looked at a correlation between the scores and the financial performance. The result? Nope. Hollywood, you're wrong. The math is pretty overwhelming. There is no positive or negative correlation between what Rotten Tomatoes reviewers say and what the box office turns out to be.
Interesting.
In other words, when a movie sucks, it's your fault, Hollywood. You made a bad movie. Stop blaming the critics or the reviewers, who are actual human beings who go to these things. Because there are two Rotten Tomatoes scores. One is the critics, which is before a movie comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it comes out, people can go on there and give their own rating to that.
Yep.
And that's how sometimes movies get big ratings.
And sometimes they're very different. I mean, when Batman vs. Superman came out, the critics really didn't like it. And the audience score on that's much higher.
Speaking of big blockbuster movies, there's yet another director change for a Star Wars movie. Last week you told us about this guy, Colin Trevorrow, who lost the job directing an upcoming movie. Was that going to be Star Wars 9?
That was going to be Star Wars 9, and he's been replaced with J.J. Abrams, who, of course, directed The Force Awakens. This is an interesting and very safe choice by Kathleen Kennedy, who now holds the keys to Lucasfilm. She'd worked with George Lucas for many, many years, and he personally chose her to shepherd his creation through the next couple years. Disney is having some interesting growing pains, though, with Star Wars and managing Star Wars like they've managed their Marvel property as well. In the Marvel movies, we've realized that directors can be fired at a moment's notice. So can the actors. So can the writers. We've had major changes in those movies because it's been a producer-driven system of the overall story has to make sense. We are connecting 14 movies. And so the director's vision, like a movie like Mother, which could only be made by one director, that's not really at play with these big franchise movies, for better or for worse. Star Wars was always the product of George Lucas. Even though he'd farmed it out to a couple of different directors, he was always on set. He very much controlled his baby.
Yep.
Well, he sold the property for $4 billion, most of which he all gave to different charities, which, God love him, that's incredible. And Kathleen Kennedy with Disney has now taken it over. J.J. Abrams did the first non-Lucas Star Wars movie called Force Awakens, which was a ginormous hit. And he had the very nerve-wracking chore to introduce new characters to an audience and hopefully have those characters connect. So you've got Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia and Han Solo, but you also had Rey and Finn and Poe. You had to make sure that people cared about those characters, and I think he did a good job with a very safe film that's really just a retread of the first Star Wars film.
Right.
But it made all the money in the world.
Yeah.
Then they had Gareth Edwards, who was actually a replacement director for Rogue One. Josh Trank was fired from that movie. And Gareth Edwards had his movie completely re-edited, a lot of new scenes reshot by the powers that be at Lucasfilm to make Rogue One fit with their vision for Disney. Now that episode 8 is in post-production now and is directed by Rian Johnson, who's done science fiction movies like Looper, the next film was supposed to be helmed by Colin Trevorrow, who did Book of Henry, which is one of the biggest flops this year. And after this giant flop, he started saying all these things about episode 9 that he was going to do, and I think they slowly backed away and said, no, you're not going to do this movie. As a matter of fact, we're going to have J.J. Abrams come back in and complete this trilogy. The reason why I call it a safe choice is because we're not going to see bold, crazy characters or giant twists in this movie, because Disney is worried about offending the Star Wars base. They want to make very, very safe movies. Will it be a good movie? Probably, and I think JJ is a really good choice. What is the most interesting part of this for me is I don't know what Disney does with the Star Wars property after that. We will have then had three saga movies, episodes 7, 8, and 9, and three standalone movies by that time. Rogue One, the Han Solo movie, which is filming now, which also had directors fired from that production, and an Obi-Wan movie. At that point, you've got six movies. In just a couple of years, the Disney will have produced.
I know what's coming after that. Origin story, the Ewoks.
Well, it could be. Disney had said, we want a Star Wars movie in theaters every year. I worry, with all of these firings and all of the behind-the-scenes machinations, maybe they back off. Maybe they just wait, instead of trying to print money, maybe just take a breath for a couple of years and wait till a good story comes your way.
You're saying an idea and a story are more important than the economics?
No.
That's crazy talk.
It won't happen.
I know.
But I think that's what we're seeing behind the scenes with these directors being removed and actors and writers being removed, is that the story is just not as important as that almighty dollar.
All right, let me quickly mention two Netflix stand-up specials you want to be aware of. If you're a Marc Maron fan, he has a new one that's called Too Real, which started streaming this past Tuesday and will be on the service forever, like all the, because it's a Netflix original. Very funny. I happen to be a Maron fan. I enjoy his stuff. Next Tuesday, they are going to start streaming the new Jerry Seinfeld special, which is called Jerry Before Seinfeld, in which he goes back to the comic strip in New York, which is the comedy club he started out in and which launched his career. And he goes back and does never-before-seen material, tells some old jokes, and talks about the history of what his life was like before the TV show.
It's a great title.
Yep. Jerry Before Seinfeld.
It's a great title.
Going to start streaming next Tuesday, but you can add it to your list today if you're a Netflix subscriber. And that's our showbiz stuff for this week on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, we've got a stalled semi on southbound Highway 270 between Dorset and Page that has the left center lane blocked, and traffic is backed up north of Dorset. And then you have an opening. Got slow to stop and go areas now from Olive down through Doherty Ferry. Also, we have a report of an accident on eastbound Highway 270 just a little bit west of Lindbergh. Must be off on the shoulder, though, because it's just a normal slowdown that goes east of McDonald through New Florissant. Now, also on eastbound Highway 270, we're running a bit slow between 203 and 111. Then downtown, everything is thinned out, just a little heavy approaching the Poplar Street Bridge. Thinned out on the Museal Veterans Bridge. Southbound 170 is slow now. Forest Park Parkway down through Highway 40. This traffic report is brought to you by Staples. Staples has everyday low prices on the office items you use most, like paper, ink, and toner, and the latest tech, plus special deals for even more savings. More at stores or staples.com. Staples, it's pro time. I'm I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Desk.
Hey, St. Louis. This is A.J. Cochran, center back for St. Louis FC. Join us in a worldwide technology soccer park as we represent our city against some of the best soccer talent in the country.
Make your plans now and get your tickets at St. Louis FC Battles Conference rival Orlando City B. Saturday, September 16th at 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets now and be a part of the action and excitement of professional soccer in St. Louis. It's time to pack the house at Worldwide Technology Soccer Park in Toyota Stadium. For more information or to get your tickets, go to stlouisfc.com.
Folks, if you want to save money or energy, something you can do yourself, give Contact Insulation a call, 636-584-0002. That's 636-584-0002. Have them come out, free inspection. They'll give you a price after they climb up in the attic. They'll look at everything and they'll say, here's what we need to do for you. They won't just blow insulation in the attic. They'll seal around the pipe. So make sure that what they're putting on top is not going to have air gaps coming through, going through your insulation. And they're going to talk to you about an R38 or an R49 insulation in your house. What's going to save you the most bang for your buck? They specialize in fiberglass, blown in wall cellulose. They have open and closed cell foam. They use bib and ultra fit fiberglass systems for residential and commercial applications. They will save you money because you're going to spend less money on utilities and you're not going to spend that much to get the insulation up to date in your house. Contact Insulation will do a great job for you. I stand behind them. I've used them in my business and I think you should use them in your home. Just give Harry a call. 636-584-0002. That's 636-584-0002.
In honor of Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, SSM Health wants to remind all the men out there that PSA screenings can help detect prostate cancer earlier. This cancer takes more men's lives than almost any other cancer in America. Find out if a PSA screening is right for you or a loved one. Talk to your physician today. If you need a physician, visit SSMHealth.com to find a physician near you. That's SSMHealth.com.
Welcome to the world of Triad Bank. Triad's philosophy is to be the single point contact for every client's financial need, from sophisticated cash management programs to your child's first savings account. Triad Bank's response to all of your business, personal, and family interests will be swift and always in your best financial interest. Located on Clayton Road, just west of the Clayton and Lindbergh intersection, right across from the Frontenac Plaza. Welcome to the world of Triad Bank. Your business, your family, your bank.
Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting a flu shot at the Medicine Shop Pharmacy. It's the smart and healthy thing to do. Just walk right in, no appointments necessary, and no prescription from your doctors required. The flu vaccine is free to Medicare Part B patients. Come experience the personal service provided by your Medicine Shop pharmacist.
Come visit Jerry and the rest of my staff at the Medicine Shop Pharmacies in Troy, Missouri on Centerline Drive, in Montgomery City, Missouri on South Sturgeon, in Peabody, Missouri at Commercial Boulevard and Highway Z. And now Ellsbury Pharmacy in Ellsbury, Missouri is a member of the Medicine Shop family too.
Hi, I'm Jill Woodward from the Medicine Shop in Wood River, Illinois. Come visit us at 901 East Edwardsville Road across from the Hit and Run.
Come visit Brian and Sue Hercules at the Medicine Shop on Woodson Road in downtown Overland.
I'm Lynn Schmickens, pharmacist and owner of Medicine Shop in Afton. We are at the corner of McKenzie and Heggie next to Fortel's Pizza. We offer free prescription delivery in Afton, Webster, Lemay, Oakville, and Melville. Come see us.
KTRS St. Louis. We are our Mizzou. ABC Radio News has received the Edward R. Murrow Award for Overall Excellence and is heard exclusively on the Big 550. KTRS St. Louis.